Okay, when Lamed Vav Amid Aleph 69 from the end of the page, in the Schattenstein's Gemara is 36.8 to second column. This is a new piece of Gemara based on what it says in the Mishnah. Okay, an islandess, the equivalent an islandess, is a girl that never develops, so therefore she's a minor until she's 20, and 20 she becomes complete adult. Okay, but in between there's no night, or like a normal girl is minor until 12, and then 12 to 12 and a half is a night, and then the baguettes and so on. So in the Mishnah it says, islandess, and look, leiknas v'lei pitui. There's no fine for violating her or seducing her. That's what the Mishnah said. Why? Because she was never had a din of a naira. Okay? So the Gemara asks, but Amina, I'll ask you a question. It says in another braisa, hachereshes v'hashayte v'aylenes, a woman who's deaf mute, a woman who's mentally ill, or an islandess. Yeah, it's an English word for it.
Barren.
Not a barren woman. She never develops. She has a thick voice. She's like never develops into the female traits. So it's a whole different. There's an English word for it, huh?
Have you ever seen
that? Yeah, no case. I mean, rare, but okay. But this braisa says, "Chere sheit of islandess, yesh loham knas, does have a knas." And the guy is able to say, in other words, if a guy marries an islandess, okay, and then he finds out she's not a virgin, and he comes along and he says, you know, this whole thing that she committed adultery after the kedushin, before the wedding. So you see clearly, this braisa disagrees with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says an islandess has no knas. If somebody seduces her or violates her, there's no fine to pay. Right? And the braisa says there is a fine.
Why isn't there a knas?
Because
she's still a person. You know,
I understand, but the Mishnah was saying the reason, because in the Mishnah, basically, if she wasn't a virgin, a naira, because the knas basically goes from the age of naira. And because she wasn't a naira, it doesn't happen.
What about if she was younger? Let's say she was 9 years old when she was still a katana.
So that we learned before is a machlekes from the chachamim. But let's try to stay here. I don't want to. So the Gemara asks. It seems a contradiction. So the Gemara answers back. What are you talking about? V'amai rumya. What's your question? Hara meir. Okay. One braisa that says island. Our Mishnah it says islands has no knas. Is Rab Meir's opinion. And Harabon, the other one is Rabbanim's opinion. Meaning like this. According to Rab Meir, only a naira is entitled, okay? Rab Meir says, only a naira, a girl from 12 to 12 and a half, gets knas. Remember we learned before, Rab Meir holds a ketana, has no knas. If somebody violates a ketana, under 12, there's no knas. Now this islandess, because she goes from ketana until 20, and at 20 she becomes immediately a bogetis, a total adult, so obviously, she was never a naira. And that's what Rav Meir holds. Rav Meir says, there's no knas on the ketana. Only on the naira. But an islandess, if that's the case, an islandess is never a naira. She goes straight from ketana to begadis. And the other opinion is, a rabbana. So the chachamim hold, a ketana does have a knas. So therefore, if somebody violates an islandess until 20, she has the din of a ketana. So therefore there is knas. So the Gemara is asking, what type of ridiculous question is this? When obviously we learned before, there's two opinions. Rav Meir says a ketana has no knas. So then an islandess would not have any knas. And the Chachamim hold the ketana has knas. And therefore there's an islandess would have a knas. So the Gemara asks, okay, you're so right. Or the ka'arala, my ka'arala. So why did the guy ask the question to begin with? This guy asked the contradiction from our Mishnah, that says they have no knas, to a braisa that says there is knas. But obviously, if it's so obvious, it's two different opinions, why did he even ask the question of a contradiction? So he says, the Gemara answers, Mishum de Islam mir machrita alayu. He has a different problem with it. Okay, he has another issue with it. He says like this, because it said in a braisa like this, Hacheresh a deaf mute, shaita mentally deranged, a begeris and a begeris, umokas eitz, a woman that was injured by a piece of wood. In other words, like this. For a girl to become non-virgin, it could be done by a male, or it could be done by putting a stick in there, which would also break the hymenal, it's called the psulim, right? So, mucus eights, right? Can also, so all these, 1 minute. It says, ein lohem tainus psulim. A husband can never make a claim against them. Okay? Now, it works like this. And the Gemara is going to explain each one. A begeris, this girl 12 and a half and up, like we learned already before in the Gemara, many times the psulim, her virginity, disappears by itself. Because the body gets bigger, and therefore it opens up, so the psulim automatically break. But we discussed this last time. Now, a woman, if it was ruptured by a piece of wood rather than premarital relations. Okay, so there's a whole question in the Gemara, does she get the ksuba like a psula or not? A psula gets 200. A non-psula gets 100. Now, if she's non-psula from a man, so obviously she cannot get the ksuba of 200 because she's not a virgin. But before in the Gemara, way before in the Gemara, there's an argument between a man and a chachamim if a mucus eitz, that means this woman that was penetrated with a stick, or it could be tampons, it could be anything today, it could not necessarily these things. So then, she's not a, how much is her ksuba? So the Magen Mitzvah, a man of Chum, one opinion says she only gets 100. Because, she's not a virgin. The other one says, what do you mean she's not a virgin? She's not a virgin, but not by a man. So she would get 200. Okay, so it says like this. Therefore, a husband can never say, right, that she's not a virgin, and therefore she committed adultery. Well, we learned all the way before in the Gemara. A guy, they had Kedushin, right, and then a year later they got married. The first night of the marriage, there's no virginity. And the guy says she committed adultery. It's called Tainus Psulim. He says, he comes to Bez and says, Le Matzasi Lo Psulim. So what does it mean? The Halacha explains that he says she committed adultery between either before the Kedushin and she lied to him, or she was raped after the Kedushin and therefore he stuck with her. Okay? So that was the Gemara saying before. So it says, so these people, the husband can't say she's not a psula. Because, well, the Gemara's going to explain why in a second. But summa of eilenis, but if it's a blind woman, or an eilenis, then the husband is able to say that she wasn't a psula. Yes, the Gemara's going to explain in a second.
Wait, but you also didn't say if her value does go down, if it was just from an ants. Not from a man.
No, that's first thing. There's three levels. There's cheres shaita and begeris and mochaseis. All these people, the husband cannot say she's not a psula. Because by nature she might not be a psula. Okay? But suma and eilenis, a blind woman, or a woman that's an eilenis, has tainus psula. Sumches amer mishum rameir, but sumches said in the name of rameir, okay? That what? Summa ein la tainus psulim. Okay? She cannot have tainus psulim. Now, the second, this braisa says basically that a deaf mute, deranged woman, cannot lose her ksuba. And the braisa before says that cheres shaitan eilenis, yesh lahem tainus psulim. Okay?
When did she become deranged?
Huh? No, before, she was deranged before. 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 So this Bryson rules that a cheresh, a deaf mute and deranged woman, cannot lose her ksuba, because it says, ein lo tainus psulim. That means the husband cannot say she wasn't a psula. Which means, what type of ksuba will she get? A full psula ksuba. The husband's saying she's not a psula, but if you say the husband can't say that, so what's she gonna get? A full-fledged ksuba. So the Gemara says, this is the issue. It's not so much about the islandess issue, but it's more about, it says, Shaitan islandess, Yashlam Kras, the Yashlam Tainus Psulim, okay? And this price says, a Shaita does not have Tainus Psulim. The first price we said, Yashlam Tainus Psulim, even on a Chedesh and a Shaita. So the question not going on an islandess. That's clear, a mayor and a Chacham. Here the question is like this. The first price we just brought down says a Shaita and an islandess, I mean a Chedesh and a Shaita. The husband could say she's not a virgin. And if he's believed, what's that? And if he's believed, she doesn't get it. She doesn't get the full ksuba. This second braisa says that a shaita does get it, a full ksuba. What's the difference? It's a contradiction between the first two braisas. So Amar Rav Sheshet said, Loi kashe, it's not a question. This is going back to a long time ago in the Gemara. All the way on, we're on Lamed Vav. All the way on Daf Yud Beis. Remember we learned the whole Gemara, the argument between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon, if a woman is believed to say, I was from this guy or not from right, this right. guy. Huh?
Right, right.
So, Rabbi Gamliel said that the case over there was like this. The husband comes to say, I wasn't, we weren't a psula. We weren't a virgin. First night we were together, you're not a virgin. So she's believed to say, we learned before in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Gamliel, yes, you're right, I'm not a psula, but I was raped after the Kedushin. And therefore it's your tough luck. Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed to say it was before the Kedushin. I mean, it was after the Kedushin. The husband says, no, it was before the Kedushin, you lied to me about being a psula. Let me explain this din for 2 minutes. It's a very simple concept over here. This mom is very simple. If a woman lied to the husband, okay, don't forget, in those days it was a Kedushin, a year later, the marriage. Now, if a girl was not a psula before the Kedushin, she lied. She says, I was a psula. And she lied, she wasn't. They have Kedushin, a year later they got married. They're together, the husband says, 1 minute, you're not a psula. What are you asking me a chaynik? Right? So what's the din? If she became non-psula before the Kedushin, that means she lied to him. She lied to him. Right? So therefore, he says, you lied to me, I'm not going to give you a psula ksuba of 200. You're a liar. I'm only going to give you 100. And that's all she's going to get, by the way. What happens, though, if reality was that it happened after the Kedushin? And she says, yes, I was raped. Now, it's his tough luck.
What does that mean?
I'll give you a very simple...
I'll
tell you very simply. If I sell you a field, yeah, and the day after the field, happened to be in Louisiana, I sold you a field... A day after I sold it to you, it got flooded out. Yeah? You come back to me and say, oh, what did you sell me over here? Whose tough luck is it, yours or mine?
Mine.
Your tough luck, I sold it to you, tough luck, right? Once the Kedushin is done, and at the Kedushin she was a psula, afterwards something happened, she was raped, not willingly, obviously.
Can she stay married to him though?
Yeah, she was raped. Unless it was, and she's crying, right? But I'm saying, but the bottom line is,
the ketubah is 200.
The ketubah is 200, because it's not her fault. Mm-hmm. She didn't lie. It's your tough luck that somebody raped me, because I was already conditioned to you. Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're talking about money over here. Everything's money.
It's not considered that the kedushin is on tonight, that she was a virgin?
She was a virgin. Until the kedushin, she was a virgin. So now the question is, and this is the argument between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shuda, we learned before in the Daf Beis, is the woman believed to say it happened afterwards, or is she not believed? Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed that it happened before.
Before?
Why? She's believed, I'm sorry, She'll be right. She'd believe that it happened after.
What's the logic?
Because, as she said, we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't believe her. Okay?
What's her agenda? What made her agenda be?
Rabbi Yeshua, okay? We don't live from her mouth. Yeah. With the Mishnah you based on before. Hanaitis Ishav Le Matzala Basulam. Yeah? A guy marries a girl and he finds that she's not a virgin. He emeres, she says, it happened after I got Kedushin. Vinistapcha Sadeu. And it's your tough luck. And he says, no, before the Edison it happened. And therefore it's a bum deal. Okay? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say nemenes. She's believed. Okay? And Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't believe her. We don't believe her. Okay? Why? It's very simple. I'll tell you the logic the Gemara said before. It's called Bari Veshama, Bari Adif. For sure. And doubt, for sure, is better. Right? The husband now lives with this girl. And he says, you're not a psula. Correct? He doesn't know when it happened. He says, maybe it happened before. And then you lied to me. But she says, I know for sure that it happened afterwards. She's saying, I know for sure when it happened.
So it's doubt against our certainty.
Right. So Rabbi Gamliel says, we believe her. Bari Vishama, definite and doubt. Doubt, definite is better. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can't extract money. You can't extract money, because that's what you're doing over here, extracting money for the ksuba, for a greater amount of ksuba, based on the definite versus a doubt. Because you still have no proof. Right? Okay. Got it so far? Now, the problem over here, what was the contradiction about the word shaita and cheresh? The second brisa says that cheresh v'shaita ein lohem tainus psulim. The husband cannot say, you weren't a virgin. The first brisa said, HaCheresh v'Sheita, Yeshon Tainus Psulim. The husband could. This is a contradiction. Right? By Cheresh and Sheita, the first brisa says, the husband has a right to say you weren't a Psula. And the second brisa says he has no right to say it. Okay? So the answer is very simple. The brisa that says he has no right to say it, meaning you believe the woman, that's Ram Gamliel's opinion. The braisa that says the husband is believed because she is not believed, that's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So again, there's two opinions in the thing.
It's cherish. How can she tell?
This is exactly what we're going into now. Good. Amar Rav Shei she said, Loi kasha. It's not a contradiction. Ha Ram Gamliel, ha Rabbi Yeshua. The one braisa that says the husband is believed is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. And the braisa that says he's not believed is Ram Gamliel's opinion. So the Gemara asks you a question now. When she taka says it, when she was violated. But if she doesn't say it, does Ram Gamliel say we say it? In other words, like this. What's the argument of Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua? The woman is defending herself. The woman is defending herself. The husband says, you're not a virgin. And it's from before. And she says, no, it's from after. Right? Therefore, you believe him. If the woman is deaf-mute or mentally deranged... First of all, deaf-mute can't even talk.
They can't defend themselves.
They can't defend themselves. So why would we believe her then? In other words, why do we believe Rabbi Gamliel says you believe the woman because she's definite when it happened, and the husband is a doubt. He doesn't know for sure when it happened. She says it happened after the Kedushin, correct? So then we believe her, Rabbi Gamliel says, because she's definite and the husband's doubt. But if she's mentally retarded or deaf-mute, so she's not saying it, so why should she be believed if she's not saying anything? Then the husband should be believed. I think my answer is a remarkable answer. And yes, we do believe her. Why? Listen to this. Kiven the Amir Ram Gamliel Mehemne. Because Ram Gamliel holds like this. If when she defends herself, she could defend herself. When she does, Bezdin defends her. And he called it Pasik. Kagain Zu, in this case, it says, Psach Picha Li'ileng. It's a Pasik in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech says, open up your mouth for the benefit of a mute. This is a very interesting concept the Gemara is explaining now. Because if she would be able to talk, she would have a defense. Bezdin defends it for her. Bezdin says the defense for her. Bezdin becomes her spokesman. Shlomo HaMelech says, open up your mouth for a mute, meaning Bezdin should open up the mouth to defend the mute. So Bezdin saying it for her. Bezdin said, no, it happened afterwards. Because she could have said it, and now circumstance does not allow her to say it, so then Bezdin says it for her.
But that doesn't mean that it's true. You're saying that what she did is she wrote it, and she's not...
No, she's not.
Just
she
based
can't
on
write.
Writing?
No.
So she didn't communicate anything, and they're assuming that right. She would have said...
She would have said it.
But what if she didn't? Why would she have said it?
Because Bezdin said we... The same thing, the Mepharshim bring down, we find a similar din. Orphans, yeah? And there's people now claiming against the orphans. Father died, left a little kid. Orphans, by halachic definition, means kids that are not able to stand up on their own feet and, you know, deal with life themselves. Okay? It could be a 15-year-old also, yeah? So now the father died. He left over an estate with a bunch of little kids, because people died young in those days, yeah? And now everybody's coming to claim money from the estate. And the kids don't know. But what do the kids know about their father's business? They're little kids. So Gemara says in many places, from this pasuk we learn that Bezdin will defend the orphans with a defense that an adult would say if he would be believed. We defend them.
It's a very different case though.
Why?
Here we're talking about a woman who she's either insane or she's not able to even talk about if she was raped or whatever. We're saying that we give her the benefit. She gets a regular value, right?
Yeah.
She gets a regular value. So that means the value isn't even based on her experiences, her sexual experiences. Because if it was, maybe she was raped. Why right now we're just giving her the benefit of the doubt. Right now we're just giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Because why should she lie? Because why should Bezdin think somebody lies?
Why don't you come closer?
It could be that, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they don't assume that she lied. I'm saying that they don't assume that she's actually a virgin. It has nothing to do with being lying.
No, that she's not a virgin, everybody agrees. Even the girl agrees she's not a virgin. The question is, did it happen before or after?
So the question is, how much does she get, right? What's her value?
Right.
So that means her value doesn't have to do with her... I have to think of other words that I had to explain.
It's very simple. If she would be a healthy girl, and she's, according to Ram Gamliel, that you believe her, and she said it happened after the Kedushin, Ram Gamliel says you believe her. Not like Rabbi Yeshua. Right? Because he said definite versus doubt. It's definite, right?
Now that she can,
Bezdin says it for her. So Bezdin's in her place, and Bezdin says it happened afterwards. And they say, prove differently.
Right.
And it's an interesting concept, because here she's extracting money. Here she wants to extract money, and yet Bezdin will talk for her.
Excuse me, if she should tell her, why would she want to even think about money if she's crazy like that?
I'm crazy, I think about money.
No, but they need money to live. The Beit Din protects her.
No, but it's a very interesting concept, the Gemara says. That Bezdin will defend an orphan, or for Elaine. The Torah calls him a mute person. It could be deranged. It could be whatever it is. Bezdin speaks. Bezdin is the father. So Bezdin is Avi Yosemim. Bezdin is the father of the orphans. Bezdin takes care of them, and they'll defend them. According to the Megillah, they'll just think they're believed. The Bezdin is believed.
Here's one more problem. I figured out how to say it. According to Rabbi Yeshua, right?
Not believed.
So if the Beis Din was passing it according to Rabbi Yeshua, they're saying that a woman who's normal isn't believed because she's thinking...
No, so the Bezdin wouldn't tie it for them either.
Why?
No, if the woman's not believed...
She's not believed. That's what I'm saying. She's not believed. Why, according to Rabbi Yeshua? Because she's thinking about money. So you're saying that, right?
No, because...
What's the svara that she doesn't get a...
Because she wants to extract the money. She's not believed.
That's what I'm saying. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're saying that a shota, a fool...
is also not believed.
I thought you said yes.
No, according to Ram Gamliel. No, according to Ram Gamliel. Yes, we think. According to Ram Gamliel, that holds... If the girl herself was able to defend herself, and she defended herself, she'd be believed. So Bezdin would say it for them, for the orphans, and the deranged, and the this, even though they wouldn't say it.
But according to Rabbi Yeshua, she also...
She's not going to believe. That's why that Braisa that says that, Yeshom Tainis Psulim, that's according to Rabbi Yeshua. That the husband's believed, not the wife.
So what is the final verdict?
Final verdict is there's two opinions.
So there is no conclusion.
There is, in Halacha there's a conclusion. Okay, next. What?
There are Amoraim that are arguing?
Well, the Gemara before brought down after this Mishnah.
Who wrote Brises?
It was also Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's time, but the one that compiled Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Ishiya.
No, but does he have a qualification of being a Tana?
Yeah,
but one of them seems like a positive person.
Ram Gamliel, by the way, is believed. The Allah says Ram Gamliel that she's believed. But the point over here is that Midorim also argue about this. What?
They both care about the money. That's why they argue.
Everybody cares.
That's what the bottom line
no,
is.
No, the difficulty over here a little money. Bit is because over here you want to extract money. But even Bari Vishama, in fact, it's a long time ago, but the Gemara over there brought down, right after that Mishnah, an argument of Amiroim, of the guys from the Gemara, about guys says like this. Here. Mani li biyadecha. A guy says, you owe me $100. And he says, I don't know. I come to you and say, you know, you owe me $100? You say, I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Do you have to pay it? So, the Gemara said before, Rabbi Yudav Rav Huna say Chayiv, Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak say Potter. Okay? You don't have to pay it. Okay, but if you hold, you have to pay it. Because that is strong enough to extract money. If I come to you and you say you owe me $100, I basically want to take away money from you. Right? Mm-hmm. So normally I need proof. Correct? I need proof. So why? Because I'm certain and you're doubtful, can I extract money? What type of proof is that?
Because someone who says he doesn't know, he doesn't.
He doesn't know. We're not talking he's lying.
But if people really owe money, don't they remember something like that? If you owe someone money.
No. When somebody owes you money, you remember. That's the way it works. Come on, where do you live in Israel? But the interesting thing over there, so what's the explanation why, if I say for sure you owe me $100, yeah, and you say, I don't know, why does that opinion say I can extract money from? What type of proof do I have?
That I am something, huh?
Yeah, but why should that doubt allow me to extract money from you?
Again, all the money in this world belongs to
Hashem. Let me tell you a little secret. All the money in the world should belong to me, and it's not there yet. Okay, now, I'll explain to you what the Rishonim write over there in the Gemara. It's many, many places. Why, if I want to extract money from you, and that's this case over in the Gemara, she wants to extract a bigger ksuba, right? Why, if I want to extract money from you, is the burden of proof on me? Not on you.
That's not really the case, except here.
No, here also. I'll explain to you in a sec. Why? If I say you owe me $1,000, yeah, you say go fly a kite. Right? The burden of proof is on me or on you?
On
me. Obviously. You want to take all the money from you. Why? Why is the burden of proof on me? Maybe it's on you. So it's a very interesting concept. Very simple concept. There's a rule that something you're holding is a chazaka, is an assumption that it's yours. Right? Like, I can come to you now and say, that jacket's mine. What, you have a sales slip that you bought it? You have a receipt that you bought it? right? But there's a chazaka. Kol ma sheyesh tachas yadei shelayu. Whatever a person's holding belongs to him. Correct? That is a chazaka. So therefore, if I want to change that chazaka, in other words, Torah says, you're $200, $1,000, whatever, you're holding it. Holding, not in your hand, but it's yours. So there's a chazaka, Torah says it's yours. Torah says it's yours. If I want to take it away from you, I have to prove it. But this opinion says, once you say, I don't know, then your chazaka became weakened.
Because maybe yes, maybe no.
Maybe yes, maybe no. So how do I know it's yours? You yourself are admitting it's not 100% mine. So in other words, what happens basically? So this is the question. When your chazaka becomes weakened by you saying, I don't know, is that enough for me to take money without a valid proof? That's the argument. If Bari Rishama is Bari better or not? Understand? So over here is the same story. The question is, the girl wants to extract money, right? So we say she's believed. If she would say it, she's believed, Rabbi Gamliel says, correct? She's extracting money, but she's definite. The guy's suffic. He doesn't know when she fooled around before the Kedushin, after Kedushin. So his ownership of the money is weakened by the fact that he says, I don't know. Correct? And therefore, Bari itself is enough to extract money. The other opinion says no. Yes, you're weakening your ownership, but still, I don't have enough proof to take it away from that. Here, the chiddush is that Bezdin says it for him, even for the shaita, the chel, whatever it is, even though they can't say it.
What is the chiddush? Because they cannot talk, basically, no?
Yeah, because of the pasuk. Without the pasuk, we wouldn't do this.
No, but as a favor to them, they cannot talk. What is the, like,
attorney?
We're trying to help them, you know?
They had a
choice. Yeah, but that's after Adayanim.
It's more than that.
No,
because they cannot talk.
So how do I know I talk for them? In fact, the Gemara says, how do you know you talk for them? Maybe not. So the Gemara says, there's a push. Like my Melech says, open your mouth to the mute to help him out. That's the source. Okay, next. Then it says, a begeres ein lo tainus psulim. Okay? Again, a guy marries this girl who's over 12 and a half, and he says there's no psulim. Okay? So he can't do it. Okay? So Gemara says, which basically means, seemingly, that there's no, like he says, the hymen of a beggar disintegrates naturally when she matures. So therefore it's presumed that her virginal blood was discharged as well. So there's no more bleeding, okay? So Gemara said, but it can't be. Vamir Rav says, beggar is nice and lalai rishayna, we give her the entire first night. Okay? Meaning like this. There's a din that when a normal young couple got married, right? So, dam besulim, which is called the rupturing of the hymen, and of the hymen is called the psulim. So it's not biblical dam. It's not dam nida. It's not menstrual bleeding. It's a maka. It's actually a wound. When the husband goes in, he actually creates a wound. That's why it hurts. It's painful because he's actually breaking through the skin. That's what's happening over here. So biblically, it's not menstrual bleeding. It's not going to render a woman tummy.
Why is it rabbinically? Why is she tummy?
Woman. So the chamim came along and said, because it's coming from that area, whatever, we don't know. That's what the chamim said. It's dam nida. But it's not the same severity as dam nida. Therefore, Rav says now in the Gemara, in other words, what happens if somebody's having relations with his wife and she becomes nida, in the middle? So right away he has to stop and that's it. Yeah? But Dam Besulim Rav said because she has the whole first night, they could do it many times. Even though she bled the first time. But the first night, the Chacham said they could be together many times, but afterwards, that's it. Okay?
Well, how long?
So, no, she has to go to the mikveh.
What's considered one night though? When does it end?
In the morning, till morning. Okay? Now.
What if they don't sleep though? No, that's what you're saying. No, I'm asking seriously.
You're not allowed to do it in the morning.
Now, the question, 1 second. The din is, so what does Rav say? That even though when you're with her, she's bleeding, you can still continue later on, right? Now, if you tell me a bagettis has no blood, how could Rav say you give it a whole first night? If she's bleeding, that means it must be damnita. The Gemara said the Mishnah just gave a rule, a bagettis doesn't have dam basulim. Correct? Because the disintegrated and the blood already came out. Yeah? So basically the Mishnah is saying that a girl 12 and a half and up doesn't have any virgin bleeding. Right?
Necessarily.
1 second. So Rav said, 1 second. So Gemara says, how can Rav say you can give it a first night? Even though she's so blood, they can be together again and again the first night. It must be dam nida. Because it's not dam basulim because she doesn't have basulim anymore. So then, what is the bleeding? It must be regular nida. So how can Rav say they can keep doing it the first night she's in nida? Then you can't do it. So obviously Rav holds, there is blood. Right? But that contradicts our Mishnah that says there is no blood. Rav basulim. So the Gemara says like this. Okay. So the Gemara answers, E de kutoin tainis domim, hachinami. Says the difference like this. If the husband says, in other words, the Gemara is going to answer an answer like this. Bleeding there is, bleeding there might be, but the, remember, we learned the expression before the Gemara, Pesach Batsuach Masasi, I found an open door. That means there was no pain, it was, see, so the Gemara is differentiating now like this. Blood there could be. Dam psulim could be even by a begetis. But, he can come along and say that, oh, I found an open door and therefore, in other words, there was no painful penetration because a begetis is open already. But bleeding could be. The Gemara is differentiating between the bleeding of a psula versus the open door, so to speak. If it's tight and painful or it's looser already.
Inappropriate or what?
Halacha, my friend.
Why don't you come closer?
This is medicine, sir.
Huh?
This is halacha, forget medicine.
It's not inappropriate. Come closer.
There's a very practical dinim in everyday life, by the way. Okay. Go get married and we'll talk. Now.
People don't care about those things.
Religious people do.
I realize.
Okay. So, either katoin tainis damim. The Gemara answers like this. If the husband made that there was no blood, hachanami, it's a valid claim. Okay? Because there is supposed to be bleeding. That's what Rav said, there's bleeding. But, hachamayaskinen, this braisen, that says, that is speaking the case, the katoin tainis, sulim, besuch masulim. Then it's a whole different story. Okay? The braisa that says a begaris has no tainus psulim, that refers to if there is the blood. If there's no blood, then he can tainus, there's no blood. But if he says pesach b'tzoch matzasi, then he can't say she's not a virgin because of it, because a begaris, it's already looser, so it's not as painful. What?
This is the whole assumption for this is very interesting because the man that he's even believed at all, that he has enough experience. We're assuming that this guy, he already has experience to know that
maybe
when he's
he
with
did.
The girl.
Maybe he did.
These guys maybe married. He did.
No, they had a bunch of wives.
The assumption is that he did.
They had a bunch of wives.
The assumption is that he did.
No.
If let's say he's a guy who you're assuming that there's a chance that it's his first girl, he shouldn't be.
He was taught the facts of life
claimed.
Before.
He was what he was taught enough to measure. Taurus, that means he has experience. The assumption is he has experience.
Or knowing. That's all.
They could have multiple wives, I think.
Okay, but this is built, this is the klal. This isn't an exception. This is the rule.
Okay. Then, right to go.
The first night,
what?
Not even the whole night. Once, no.
Yeah, but this is what Rav says. The halacha is not necessarily like Rav. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Sumchus Hamim Mishum Rameir. The Braisa said. Sumchus said in the name of Rameir that Suma Enotain is Psulim. A blind woman, the guy can't say that she's not a Psulim. So Gemara says, my time it is Sumchus. Why does Sumchus say a blind woman cannot be Tainus Psulim, that she's not a Psulim? He says, Amid Abzeira, Mishum Shenechbetes Agabi Karkam. Because it says like this, we learned already, a lot of things can undo the hymen. Remember, we could, a stick, tampons, horseback riding could, keep falling on the floor, could also, because of the movements of the body falling on the floor, it could also undo it. Okay? A blind girl falls a lot. Because she doesn't see where she's going. Right? So the Gemara says, Sumcha says, Neymar Amer, a blind girl, we can assume that she lost her virginity from falling a lot on the floor, but not because she's not a psalm, committed adultery or lied to him or whatever it is. Okay. So Gemara says, 1 minute. Kula namicha buti michbate. But all girls fall on the floor. Only a blind girl falls on the floor. So all girls fall on the floor. So what's the difference between a blind girl and another girl? So Gemara says, interesting. Kul and Reyes, all the other girls, when they fall on the floor, they see bleeding. Modestly, when they show it to the mother to know what it is. But a blind girl doesn't see it and can't show it. So she probably doesn't know. The Gemara answer is very simple.
It's illogical.
The Gemara answers, a regular girl, yeah, she falls. But if there's bleeding, in other words, if it ruptures when she falls, she's going to come to her mother and say, Ma, what... or Ima, or whatever they call them. What is this? A blind girl doesn't know that it happened, doesn't see it happened, definitely she's not going to show it to anybody. So therefore, Simcha says, in the name of the mayor, that she's not believed. I mean, that he cannot say she's not a psula.
Why? Because if it happened...
In other words, it's possible she fell on the floor.
Yes.
And then she lost a psula, not from a man. What's the husband saying? Oh, she's not a psula, it's from another man, so therefore I don't want to give her a ksuba. Right? But it's not true. Maybe it's not from men. Maybe because she fell, and that's what it is.
Different case.
Which is logical, by the way.
Yes.
Okay, now, the Gemara is going back to a brisa a little bit before. It says, a yetz is mishum shem ra, if a woman who's divorced, in other words, because the Torah says like this, what happens if it's true? The guy says to the wife, you're not a psula. And we found out she committed adultery between the Kedushin. Before the Kedushin. Right? She committed adultery, not adultery. She had relations, therefore she's not a psula. So the din is, hayetz is mishum shem ra. If a guy divorces his wife because of shem ra, she has no right to fine or violate it for seduction. In other words, like this. The Gemara thought, now what the case is, that the guy brought witnesses, she committed adultery. Otherwise, how did the husband know? So he has witnesses that she committed adultery as an arusa. Okay? In other words, the case is, this is a different case. The husband says she's not a psula. Okay, and he proves that she willingly committed adultery with two witnesses. They saw her having an affair. Okay, so what's the din? He divorces her. Right?
No ketubah.
But the din is that after she departs from the husband, okay, when the husband divorces her, and then somebody violates her, there's no knas. Because she's already not a virgin. She was proven that she lived with somebody. Correct?
Right.
So she's not a psula anymore.
Yeah, but he slept with her. That makes her double or not virgin. You understand what I mean? So she's entitled to something.
No, I'm saying not. She lied to him,
correct.
So she gets divorced with nothing. She's an adulteress.
Oh, all right.
But now if a guy next week violates her, they don't have to pay a fine for seducing or violating her. Because she was already, did what she had. She did what she did. Right? Okay. So the Gemara is a very interesting question. What do you mean? If that's the case, what do you mean if a guy violates her, there's no fine? She gets stoned. She committed adultery. If a girl after Kedushin, not after marriage, after Kedushin, commits adultery with somebody, she gets stoned. Now, the husband's proving here that she, with Edis, that she committed adultery after the Kedushin. Right? So she gets basically stoned because she committed adultery. So why is there a din? The guy that violates her next doesn't pay a fine. She's getting stoned. What type of fine are you talking about?
So you're saying, what if she is, wasn't killed yet?
Huh? It doesn't matter.
Because she's dead.
If you're saying that she's definitely not a virgin, so if a guy violates her later, first of all, she's getting stoned. In other words, we're believing the witnesses to the extent that she's not a psula, that she gets stoned.
Mm-hmm. So when is the next case? She's so dead.
Even if she's not dead yet. They did it before she got stoned, yeah? Yeah? But if she's not a virgin, that's for sure. She's getting stoned because of it. So now that we assume she's not a virgin, so why should she be getting the fine? It's only a fine is only on the psula. So Amar Rav Shesh is like this. No, it says like this. Interesting thing Rav Shesh says. It doesn't mean that the guy divorced her because she committed adultery after the Kedush. It means like this. Mi sheyas sha'aleh shem rabbi alduso. A girl that there was a bad name about her in her youth. Before she was married, that she was fooling around with everybody.
Shem rabbi means that it's not true.
No, a bad name went out about her.
See, Shemra, that term means
that's if the husband is lying about her. But if Shemra means, if it actually happened, says you, before she got...
No, it means it's a bad name.
Huh?
Usually they say Lashon Hara is if it's true, Motzi Shemra is if it's not true.
Yeah, but it's not Motzi Shemra.
It's a
bad name. Motzi Shemra is what... But Yotza Aleh means it's known in the city that this girl was very promiscuous.
So it is true. We believe it. That's
yes.
What I'm asking.
So then the din is eno knasoli pitui. Such a girl doesn't get knasoli pitui. Now she's not going to get stoned because she was never married when she did it. But she's definitely not a virgin, right? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said like this. Shema mino, from here you see. Haishtorereya, a suspicious loan document, leimagbinale, you cannot collect with it. In other words, like this. A document that's rumored to be forged, even though there's no proof that it's forged, you can't collect with it. Why do we learn this out from this girl? This girl, there's no proof that she was fooling around as a kid. There's a rumor. Yeah? And yet, you can't collect money for knas in that. Because a rumor is enough to make it uncollectible. So the Prophet says, from this din about the girl, we see that if a star was rumored to be forged, it's no good. Huh?
It makes sense with a girl, because a girl, if that name, that type of bad name is going to get out, that means she was very friendly with gentlemen, with men. So it's more believable, but with a star, what's the connection?
It's just that you can't... The rumors do not allow you to extract money. She wants to extract money for knas?
With this case, it makes sense. But with a star, to me,
what you see from here, that rumors can stop collection of money. The Gemara is going to ask a question. What's the case? The Gemara is going to ask really, what case is this? Let's see it inside quickly. Echidami. Gemara says like this. Elaim is enough of call a lie. If there's a rumor that it's a forged document, yeah? And the same thing, we're comparing the girl case to the document case, right? The kavasi hacha denafa la kodesnoi, and you're telling me that there's a rumor that she committed, she was mezana with men before she got married. Hamed Rava says, yotza she mezana beir. Rava says, interesting din. If there's rumors that a girl was promiscuous, ain't chayshishin la. You don't care about the rumor. You don't, the rumor has no basis to it. Rav said, okay.
Oh, so they're protecting us.
It's a machlokes.
No, Rav says a girl who has a rumor going around about her that she was with goyim or slaves, which would not allow her to marry a kohen, right? If she was with an eved or a guy that she can't marry. So Rav said rumors don't do anything. So if you're talking about rumors, the Gemara says, so even by a girl, she's not, there's no rumors, don't do anything. Right? So what's the case? Two guys came and they testified, this girl asked us to do these acts with her.
Non-Jews, you mean?
Yeah.
Or a slave?
Yeah. Yep. In other words, two witnesses came, okay, and they didn't say, by the way, that they lived with her. Okay? But they said this girl wanted us to be with her. So then like this. The kavasi hacha, what's the case by the document? Two people came and said, L'didi amalu zayfali, that the holder of the document said to two people, forge a document for me. Mm-hmm. Right? So bishlei mahasam, over here I understand why by the girl it's no good, because shchicha pritzim, because there's a lot of guys that would be with her. If she only offered herself, there's a lot of men for the taking. Hacha imhu huchsak, kol yisrael mi huchsaku. But the Gemara says, if a guy comes to people and say, forge a document for me, what do you think, everybody's a liar just because this guy's no good? And as the Gemara says, by girls and boys, you'll find a lot of takers from the men. If the girl is ready, they'll find a lot of takers. But a guy says, forge a document for me, why should people just go around forging documents? People don't do that. So it's not a similar case. So my answer is Hachanami. Kivan the Kamahadra as a Yufa. Since he was going around after forgery, Amer, we could say that Zaif is Zaifa Kosef. If he could, even if he couldn't find any accomplices to forge the document, he did it himself.
If he's that desperate,
he'll do it himself. So therefore, we can assume the document's forged.